worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, to begin with, Psalm 1, starting at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Then looking further at Psalm 112, Psalm 112, starting at verse 1. Praise the Lord! Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established, he will not be afraid, until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He is dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Verses 1 through 10, all of Psalm 112. Thank you, Father, once again for the wonderful and the precious and the blessed gift of your word. Thank you for the opportunity you give us of being able to open your word and spend time with you one-on-one each and every day. Thank you, Father, for how that as we spend time reading and meditating on your word, that you're molding us, you're shaping us, you're helping us to grow in our wisdom and our counsel and our understanding of how to know you and to follow you, and you're molding and shaping us to become more and more like you. Guide us with every passing day to become much more faithful hearers and doers of your word, and help us to be faithful to teach and train and guide our children to read and meditate in your word, and help us to be faithful to encourage others to be students of your word as well. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we come to you today and we bring with us our listening family. Father, we pray that you would work in them in a mighty way. Father, that with their health needs, with their financial needs, Father, with their spiritual needs, most importantly, God, we pray that you would work in them in a mighty way. We're thankful for this group of listeners you've got gathered together today to hear what you have to say to them. Give them ears to hear what you say and hearts to respond to it in a way that brings you much honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're continuing to encourage you to consider getting involved with the great and the wonderful outreach called Operation Christmas Child. Through this ministry, you can send the good news of Jesus Christ to children around the world through a simple shoebox gift. Packing a shoebox can help result in the great work of evangelism, discipleship, and multiplication to go forward. This is a direct way for you to help equip the local church in different parts of the world. Operation Christmas Child's local ministry partners with a simple platform that is a shoebox gift to reach their own communities and establish long-term relationships. In hard-to-reach areas and in more than 100 unreached people groups, these gift boxes are opening doors for evangelism and follow-up discipleship, often resulting in churches being planted. You can pack your shoebox now with any standard size shoebox and drop it off during the third week of November. This year, that's November 15th through the 22nd. Hope that you will get involved. For more information, visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Again, that's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to learn more and to find a drop-off location near you. Also, we're wanting you to be aware of a new outreach that AFA has begun, a new outreach project. The American Family Association will no longer be canceled by culture or banned from speaking the truth. The AFA Streaming is a new project that has gotten underway. We're introducing the latest ministry effort, AFA Streaming, built and managed by the American Family Association. Previously, AFA relied on third-party platforms such as YouTube, Vimeo, and Facebook to stream content. However, these platforms have become censors of biblical truth, and what a tragedy that is. But AFA Streaming is now available, and it's an online platform that hosts all AFA-produced video content, from documentaries and church curriculum to our Cultural Institute series. All are available now for online viewing on a user-friendly, first-class website. AFA's vision is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA Streaming provides top-notch resources that address issues related to the core values of the American Family Association. To set up your account today to begin streaming, simply, or to get more information about how to do that, or to just to learn more about AFA Streaming, visit afa.net. Again, that's afa.net. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Today, we're looking specifically at the topic, the crucial daily habit of reading and meditating on God's Word. And of course, that's a topic that in one way or another we may visit often. But you know, I don't believe I have the ability to overemphasize how important it is that believers, that individual believers, individual disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ recognize the habit of reading and meditating on Scripture daily is extremely important to every believer. It's much more crucial than any of us will fully grasp. So being a student of Scripture is very, very important. And if you listen to the Hour of Intercession often, you may recall I often allude to believers starting the habit of reading 3 chapters in the Bible every day. Well, sometimes I may encounter believers who their response to that is, man, that's a lot. It's really not. It's really not at all. You can read your average 3 chapters in about 15 minutes. But keep in mind, it's so critical that we understand that abiding in Christ Jesus and in His Word is a critical part of being a disciple. The fact is, we're to be vitally connected and we're to stay vitally connected to the Lord continually. And again, that's a truth I'm not able to overemphasize. So being a student of Scripture is much more important than most believers grasp. And so before we get further into it, I wanted you to take a moment just to consider an important truth found in the Gospel of Luke, a story and account in Scripture I've shared just I don't know how many times, but it makes such an important point found in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38, a kind of a snapshot from the life of Jesus, but it has a very important lesson for all of us as believers to recognize. Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Verses 38 through 42. Here, a powerful but a very insightful account that Jesus had when visiting the home of some precious friends of his, loved ones that he loved and cared much about. But visiting in the home of Martha and Mary, two sisters, he and his disciples, And if you can picture what's going on, Martha and Mary are glad to have Jesus and his disciples in their home. And so Martha's probably cooking, cleaning, doing the kinds of things that a hostess typically would do. But at some point, she realizes her sister Mary is not helping her. And when she looks around, she sees Mary not standing at the door waiting to come help her sister. She's in the room where Jesus is, sitting at his feet and listening to his word. In other words, it appears that she is settled down, ready to listen to Jesus, and has no intention of getting up and helping Martha. Well, if you can picture Martha, again, with steam coming out of her ears, she's not happy with her sister at all. And she's so upset she doesn't talk to her sister. She seems to almost, in a sense, verbally attack Jesus. She says to Jesus, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." But notice how Jesus graciously and kindly responds, but I think in a loving and firm way, to help Martha understand his perspective, his thoughts on this whole matter. Verse 41 says, "And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.'" Again, note very specifically what Mary was doing. Verse 39 says, "Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Now, to every single listener, I want to make this very, very clear. If you're a serious disciple of Jesus Christ, the time you spend reading and meditating on the word of God, in other words, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening and learning to him, is extremely important, and it needs to be one of those habits that we establish basically every day of our lives. Why? Because our connection to Jesus, a vital part of that is being in the Word of God continually. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the opportunity you give us of being able to open your Word and spend time with you one-on-one every single day. Father, open our eyes, our heart, and our understanding today to come to much better realize how critically important it is for us to be diligent students of your word, believers who read your word, but not just read it, but who hear it and meditate on it, who think on it with the goal of living it out, acting on it. Help us to know, Lord, the truth is always meant to be applied. Help us to recognize that as we hear your word, as we trust your word, as we obey your word and we follow your word, that's where we find genuine success in life. That's where we find genuine fulfillment in life, in carrying out your will and your calling upon our lives. Help us to know, Lord, that you have such important work for all of us to do, but that the blessing is found as we hear your word and walk in obedience to that word. Thank you for the opportunity to do that. And Lord, thank you for all of us. And thank you for this powerful account found in your word of Martha and Mary. And Lord, anoint us afresh with the Spirit that would help us to be wise enough to walk in the same kind of wisdom Mary walked as a lifestyle. Help us to live a lifestyle of sitting at your feet and hearing your word. Lord, in spite of our busy schedules and busy lives with so many things to do, help us to know that our spending time in your word is so important, and help us to, as parents and grandparents, to be wise enough to teach and train our children to read your word out loud as to us as well, so that they too can begin to fall in love with you and with your word, and they too can grow in their understanding of how important it is that we be students of your word, persons that are diligently consuming your word, receiving your word, walking in the power and the wisdom of your word each and every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're looking today at the topic, the crucial daily habit of reading and meditating on God's word. We'll be right back.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Blessed is the man who doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man who doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. Blessed is the man who doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man who doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law.
Music from Cam, Psalm 1. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic, the crucial daily habit of reading and meditating on God's Word. And let me say to every listener, if you're listening today, and of course, as I often do, if you don't have the habit of reading at least three chapters in your Bible every day, I would encourage you to start that habit today. Because again, nothing ministers to your mind, body, and spirit like the Word of God. God literally pours grace into your life through His Word. And as you spend time in His Word, God's Word is working on you, molding, shaping you, and blessing you in ways you and I don't fully comprehend. You're spending time in the presence of God when you're reading and meditating on the Word of God. And that's one of the reasons why Satan fights the Word of God. The reading of God's Word in public or in private, as much as he does, he recognizes the Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. When you're reading God's Word, God is talking to you. The God of the universe is talking to you. The question is, are you listening? God's Word has wisdom, guidance, grace, and power to pour in your mind, your heart, and your life. We all need that. Picking up now, reading from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there's life, I've given every green herb for food, and it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Verses 1 through 31, all of Genesis chapter 1. Father, thank you once again for the wonderful opportunity, the blessed opportunity you give us of being able to open your word and spend time with you one-on-one each and every day. Father, help us to grow tremendously in our understanding of the fact that when we read your word, you, the God of the universe, is talking to us. You are talking to us. You're pouring wisdom, grace, and strength into our mind and our heart. And help us to know, Lord, that your word ministers to our mind, body, and spirit. Your word is good for us. Thank you for the truth that you let us know in your word in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. Lord, you told us, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Lord, help us to know, Lord, that your word lets us know that it's medicine to our bodies as well as our minds and our spirits as well. Help us to know, Lord, that your word nourishes us in a way that no one else or nothing else can. Help us, Lord, more and more to grow in our love for you and our love for your word, and help us to become much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. Thank you for how that your word guides us, molds us, shapes us in so, so many ways. And Father, help us to be wise enough to recognize that our children desperately need to fill their hearts and their minds with your word as well. Thank you for the gift of your word and the chance for us to fill up on it every single day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Looking now in the book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely, to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." Now it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked for him from the Lord." Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "Not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever." So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word." Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with 3 bulls, 1 ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshiped the Lord there. Verses 1 through 28, all of 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now once again, we find a very powerful chapter that is the first chapter in the book of 1 Samuel. And of course, 1 and 2 Samuel are 2 books. Interesting that God uses this chapter to introduce us to the book of 1 Samuel, and in a sense to 1 and 2 Samuel. These 2 books are largely about the life of King David. Yet God introduces the book by introducing us to a young woman, a young wife who simply wanted to have a son. And she was wise enough to go to God in prayer. And through prayer, She sought God's blessing through prayer. God heard and answered her prayer. And she did receive the son who, of course, was Samuel. And Samuel was a great prophet that God used mightily. And amongst other things, Samuel was used of God to anoint King David to be the king of Israel. Well, one very important, one of the many important and powerful lessons from this chapter, though, is that God's will and God's dreams can be birthed through prayer. Of course, Hannah literally desired to have a son, and she prayed, and God blessed her with a son, and she birthed a son, so one could very much say that Samuel, in a sense, was birthed through prayer. But the reality is, many a dream that God has is birthed through prayer. Not only a faithful prophet, but many things, this is one of the powerful truths about prayer. Often God will, this is just a way God operates very, very often. He'll place a desire on the hearts of his children individually. And as we pray for those desires and God hears and answers, God's will is done as well as our will can be done all at once as well. So we birth things through prayer. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're looking today at the topic, the crucial daily habit of reading and meditating on God's Word. We'll be right back. Of Amanda Lindsay Cook with Still. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, the crucial daily habit of reading and meditating on the Word of God. And again, to every listener, we're encouraging you to consider this very important part of our Christian life. If you're not reading the Word of God every day, I would encourage you to start the habit of reading His Word every single day. And often I encourage believers to start the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day. Father, thank you for every listener. Touch each listener. I pray that you'd help each one to start with at least that amount of the consuming of your Word. And help us to know, Lord, that there's no such thing as reading and meditating on your Word too much. Your Word only increases blessing, grace, and strength. Help us to know, Lord, that we can't consume too much of your Word. It will bless us, strengthen us, and encourage us all the more. Help us to be believers that fill our lives with your Word each and every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So again, reading the Word of God daily is much more important to all of us. And keep in mind, you know, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. An important part of seeking first the kingdom is making it a priority to seek the Word of God daily as well. And now keep in mind, with people that have full and busy schedules, sometimes people may say, well, I'm so busy, I just don't have time to read my Bible. Understand this, you always have time for what's first. When you put God first, you're going to have time for it because it's the first thing you do in the course of a day. So getting up early in the morning and spending time in the Word, that's a wise thing to do. Now, if you think, well, I only have typically 40 minutes after I get up before I have to head out the door. Well, let me encourage you to do this. Get up earlier. Ask the Lord to help you get up 30 or 45 minutes earlier to get into the Word of God and spend time both with the Word of God and in prayer as well. And for those that say, well, I just can't get up earlier, we can do what we want to do. By the grace of God, we choose to do what we want to do. And so, yes, the Lord, the Holy Spirit will help you to get up earlier. But I can't overemphasize how important it is that you spend time with the Lord. That's one of the great ways to begin a successful day every day. Spend time with your Heavenly Father each and every day in His Word and in prayer. Reading now from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Or if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Verses 1 through 29, all of Matthew chapter 7. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the topic, the crucial daily habit of reading and meditating on God's Word. I just read all of Matthew chapter 7, and it deals with so many different topics that are important to each and every one of us. But amongst others, it talks specifically about the importance of taking the time to pray and ask God for what you need. There are so many things in the course of the day that you and I just may not ever received simply because we didn't ask. Did you know that the Holy Spirit, amongst other things, is in a waiting mode, waiting to hear our prayers? God loves to answer prayer. But you know, the Bible says, ask, looking at verse 7 again, chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. In the book of James, it specifically tells us, you have not because you ask not. There are many blessings that many a believer will never receive in their lifetime simply because they never took the time to go to God in prayer and ask them. Are you a holy asker? Do you go to God and ask God for big things and little things and in between things? You know, God loves to meet our needs and to meet many desires as well. But a key is, we must be people who will ask. Father, anoint us afresh with the spirit of asking. The spirit of prayer empowers us to be a people that are wise enough to ask you for help in time of need, for desires in our hearts. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Just reading a portion of Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, Hebrews 11, starting at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Verses 1 through 12 of Hebrews 11. Again, Hebrews 11 is often referred to as the faith chapter. And it teaches us a number of very important truths about faith. And every person mentioned in Hebrews 11, there's an important truth or truths about faith that you can learn from reading the account of their lives. How important it is that you and I are diligent students who are always seeking to learn more about how to put our faith to work. Why is faith so important in the life of a believer? Well, Hebrews 11 lets us know in verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a reward of those who diligently seek him. You know, in the big challenges of our lives, in the small challenges, in the big problems and the small problems, God wants us to learn to trust him continually in everything. The word of God tells us, Old and New Testament, the just shall live by faith. It's important, so important for us to learn to have the attitude of, Lord, I trust you in every situation. To never panic, to never feel hopeless, to feel like there's no way out, because we serve a God that's bigger than our problems, our challenges, bigger than the problems of our lives, our families' lives, bigger than the problems of our community, bigger than the problems of our nation, and bigger than the problems of the world. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Yet, the goal is that we put our faith and trust in him. As the motto of our nation, in God we trust. Are you trusting him in the big things, in the little things, and all the in-between things? God can be trusted. How important it is that we daily seek to live a life of faith. Lord, anoint us afresh with the spirit that would encourage us to be wise enough to seek to live by faith in everything we do. We thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we've been looking today at the topic, the crucial daily habit of reading and meditating on God's Word. And if you're not reading three chapters a day, we hope that you'll start that important habit today. And as we normally do, as we prepare to conclude our broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a great day to give your life to Christ. Today is a great day to be saved. If you want to make that step, would you simply pray this simple prayer with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so, so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come anew into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you would have me to be. Lord, you told us in your word, whoever calls on your name shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we very much would like to hear from you. If you would, simply email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to share with you some literature that'll help you to grow and begin to grow and grow strong in your walk with the Lord. Again, jparker@afa.net. Or if you're wanting simply just to receive some of the prayer tools and discipleship tools that we provide, we're glad to share those with any listener that emails us. Again, the same email, jparker@afa.net. We've been looking today at the topic, the crucial daily habit of reading and meditating on God's Word. And if you're not reading three chapters a day in your Bible, I hope that you'll start that habit today and you'll be greatly blessed by it. And parents, have your children start reading three chapters a day out loud to you. It'll bless them and bless you and bless your whole family as well. Hope you'll do that. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.